The hockey is happening. It's starting. Like, Tuesday was the Bruins' first captain's practice. It was open to media. We got to talk to Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy after. And there were some takeaways from, you know, attendance. Jeremy Swayman was on the ice, which, not surprising. He's been at Warrior skating and working out all summer with teammates, with team staff. So that doesn't really mean anything as far as his contract status. I know, you know, I saw some people on social media, like, get excited that, oh, if he's on the ice, that must mean something's close. And it's not really the case. These are technically unofficial team activities. So, you know, it's kind of just a group of guys skating that media gets access to, honestly. But then we talked to Marchand after, and he revealed that he had three surgeries this summer, which we did not know about any of them prior to this. One was to repair a torn tendon in his elbow, which he said he actually suffered last summer and then played through all season. And then he also had a procedure on his groin and another like abdominal procedure to repair a sports hernia. So he said he just started really training again 2 weeks ago. He did not skate with his teammates Tuesday. He skated on his own before practice. He said he hopes to be cleared in time for the start of training camp, which is September 18th, if not very shortly after. So sounds like he should probably be ready for the start of the regular season, but obviously his training was disrupted and he was, you know, it's kind of behind the eight ball and playing catch up now. So I think it is fair to wonder about, you know, like, is he going to get off to a slow start? Is it going to be like a long ramp up period here? You know, he has some other interesting things to say about right wing on his line. McAvoy had some comments we'll get into, but I'll start there.
Yeah, I did want to get into the McAvoy stuff as well. But first, you know, Marchand also said that he wasn't going to talk about his contract extension at all. Like, the whole, he's like, please, just, this is the one time I'm going to tell you guys, I'm not talking about it. So, which is fair, you know, it's a distraction. And a lot of times guys just leave it up to their agent and, you know, they don't want to think about it. So, the three surgeries, Scott, you and I were talking about this before, like, the elbow one wasn't as concerning, but like, having like a surgery for a hernia is a little bit more serious in terms of like recovery. However, he's supposed to be ready by the beginning of the season. So, I mean, that's good news for people that hear, you know, three surgeries and go, oh, well, is he going to miss time? Like he did, was it two seasons ago? The centennial. Yeah. The centennial season starting out, you know, waiting to come back with an injury for about a month. I think like about a month, or maybe a little bit longer.
The pre-centennial season. Last year was centennial.
Oh yeah. Pre-centennial. Yes. The last season with Bergeron, cause it was Bergeron, McAvoy, Marchand, everybody's coming back with, you know, late cause of surgery. So yeah, at least there's that he's supposed to be ready to go at that time. And he was also asked about playing with Charlie Coyle, like, do you expect to be with Charlie again to start the season? And he said yes, though I know, like, he himself doesn't have control over that. That's Jim Montgomery. But basically, he was just saying how hard Charlie Coyle works and how their chemistry is there. So he wouldn't, you know, be surprised if they're together again.
Yeah, and I think they're second full season together. Obviously Charlie Coyle is coming off of a career high in points with 60. I think if Marchand is healthier this year than last year, you get that extra year of chemistry. We'll see who's on their wing. I'm sure it might be a rotation to an extent, but you would think that their chemistry will only grow and get better. I'm anxious to see the two of them. I'm sure there could be some out there who still might think Charlie Coyle is maybe better suited as a third line center. But I also think that the flip side of that is that he produced like a top two center last year. and maybe he just needed the opportunity. I mean, it's tough to be a top two center when you have Bergeron and Krejci in front of you, and sometimes opportunity is all it takes. So maybe with the opportunity, he becomes that number two center, which he showed last year.
And I think him and Marchand have similar work ethics, right? Like, we know Marchand has, like, top-end work ethic. And Charlie Coyle is right there. Like, he does not take shifts off. He doesn't, you know, he spends a lot of his downtime practicing and getting better at certain things. So I think they're a good combo in that they both, you know, they both look at things the same way, each shift the same way, just battling the whole time. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that's where we all kind of had them penciled in. It really was more just the question of who's on the right side of that line. So yeah, I don't know if you have any more thoughts about Marchand, but I'd want to get into some of the stuff McAvoy said too.
Well, I thought Marchand's comments about the battle for right wing were really interesting, and not just because I was the one who asked him the question, but that always
helps.
It does. Well, yeah, clearly I was interested because I asked him.
Yeah, everybody is.
But yeah, he said, you know, for our group especially, the details are what allows you to have success and stay. I think first and foremost, they want to see you be able to make plays and take advantage of situations, but you've got to be able to be responsible on both sides of the puck and managing how you play with it. Just because you're a skilled guy doesn't mean you're going to earn that spot because you can dangle through three guys. You've got to be able to be very responsible defensively, especially playing with Chuck and I. We play both sides of the puck and play against a lot of teams' top lines, so it's as much about being really strong defensively as it is offensive and understanding the game management, when to try to beat guys, when you have to chip it in, and it takes a lot of time. Like, Bridget, you mentioned that, you know, Marchand and Coyle have similar work ethics and similar kind of commitment to an all-around game. And I think Marchand's telling you, like, the expectation is whoever the third member of that line is should have that same kind of commitment. And, you know, as it relates to, like, the conversation we're all going to be watching, you know, can Fabian Lysell win that spot? Like, that sounds like a challenge to Fabian Lysell of, like, hey, kid, if you're going to win this job and play on my line, here's what you have to do. Like, here's what you have to be focused on. Because, you know, Trent Frederick has that two-way game. Like, maybe he doesn't have the offensive upside, but we know Trent Frederick can play defense. We know he buys into the system. I think Morgan Geeky bought into the system last year, his first year in Boston. So you have those guys in front of, you know, I'll say in front of Lysell for now, you know, with NHL experience, who have been through it, who play that way. If we know that's been a question with Fabian Lysell's game, like, it's pretty much exactly what Ryan Mougenel called him out for last December, you know, said, like, he has to buy into playing a team game. Called out a specific play where he tried to take on a whole team 1-on-4. And then you have Marchand saying, you know, just because you can dangle through three guys doesn't mean you're going to get the job. Like, I think Marchand is, like, I think he's answering honestly in terms of what he's looking for from a line mate, but I also feel like there was, you know, I think there was some thought to that of, like, kind of just laying out exactly what the expectation is going to be for Lysell or for anyone else who's going to compete for that.
In addition to Geeky and Frederick, you know who else could hear Marchand's ask and say to themselves, yeah, I agree, I can do that, is Tyler Johnson, who the Bruins have signed to a professional tryout, who is on the, you know, the backside of his career, but comes from a Stanley Cup championship pedigree in Tampa Bay, knows what it takes to win, has been parts of lines, whether it was Nikita Kucherov and Andrei Palat back during the triplets days, or on a third line or a fourth line as a depth player for those Tampa Bay actual cup champions. Like, Tyler Johnson would understand about chipping pucks in and going after it and playing strong defensively. Now, are his defensive numbers in Chicago great? No, nobody's is right now. But again, it's just to illustrate that, like, yes, there are returning Bruins and Frederick, Geeky, and others that are challenging for the role. And there are going to be some guys on PTOs. Johnson might not be the last one that have that NHL experience and understand peer to peer what Brad Marchand is saying when he asks about those qualities in the line mate.
Yeah. When you hear the description that Marchand gives, like to me, I don't know if it was the same way with you. You're just trying to figure out like your brain's just like, who does that sound like? Like who is the person who fits that mold the most that they have available to play there this year? And for me, it was Trent Frederick. Like for me, it sounded like he was describing somebody like Trent Frederick who, really, he plays really good defense. We've seen him, you know, he kind of plays defensively like a center, even when he's a wing, because he just has like a mindset of getting back and playing defensively. So it started to sound to me like Trent Frederick, and Trent and Charlie Coyle also have had chemistry in the past. So I'm starting to think that maybe he's the guy that gets a look first there. Or at the very least, he does fit that description the best, I think, of who they have that they could elevate there.
Yeah, for sure. And like we've had the conversation before of like who's most likely to get to 50 points, you know, if you put them in that role. And like it honestly probably is Trent Frederick. Like he had 38 points last year. He's gone up every year. So, you know, like I do think Your ideal lineup would, like, if Fabian Lysell really could just win this job and run with it, then, you know, you have Frederick and Geeky both on a third line, me with Potcher in the middle. And, like, now that looks like more of a full lineup, whereas, you know, if you move Frederick up, then you have an opening on the third line and you can figure that out. Like, it doesn't look as ideal, but just in terms of, who fits that description Marchand gave, and B, who would actually probably be most likely to produce the most points in that spot? Like, I do think it's probably Trent Frederick. So that doesn't mean, you know, I think he should definitely win the spot. Like, let's see what happens in camp and preseason. But you can see what the appeal of him being there would be.
And I also, as it pertains to Lysell, I don't think where Marchand is asking anything that Lysell isn't capable of providing. Like, I think a lot of Bruins fans, and understandably so, haven't had the chance to watch Lysell a ton, whether it be he's in Providence and the games aren't televised, like whatever the case may be. But Lysell plays with a bit of peskiness. Like he will back check hard. He forces turnovers. He causes turnovers. He has good stick lifts. He's deceiving, and he could play with a bit of an edge. I think sometimes his temperament needs improving. Like he can be a little bit of a not a whiner or a crybaby, but he has to control his emotions better. But he has the skill and the hockey IQ to be sound defensively and create turnovers. Have back pressure through the middle of the ice. So I think he's capable. It's just going to be a matter of, okay, how much are you learning in the offseason and how quickly can you learn on the fly at the NHL level in a top six role? And because we've talked about it, Lysell's a fourth liner is not going to happen. Can he be a third liner at times throughout this year? Maybe. I just don't
think that I don't think that's out of the question for him.
No,
but I think third lines can have a dynamic where he would fit in.
I just think that where the Bruins might be hesitant is a third line where you see both Patra and Lysell, two really young players out there at the same time. So that's the only thing where it's like, okay, well, if Patra's on that third line, do they want to be that young on a given line?
Yeah. And that's a fair point. I wanted to bring this up because I saw this 2 days ago. Mark Dibber, tweeted this out. He said, hearing Georgi Mirkalov, I like to talk about like other people that might be making a push. He said, hearing Georgi Mirkalov is back from Colorado where he spent some time skating with the Flyers. Matvey Michkov.
Yeah.
Okay. And others. And he says, expect Merk to make a strong push in camp. Basically saying that Mirkalov had a strong off season, put in a lot of work I guess out in Colorado with another a Russian player. So, and others, but
not just a Russian player, but maybe like the number one prospect in all of hockey.
Yeah. So
Michkov's going to be a beast.
So he's training and getting himself ready to take a job. And it sounds like, and Mark Diver is very tapped into prospect world, in college and elsewhere. And, you know, so I trust his commentary when he says like he could make a strong push because, he knows what he's looking for in those situations, really. So I think that's interesting because I do feel like we have some listeners and viewers of this podcast who want to see Merkulov take a job and like his game and push for him. And so I'm interested to see what he looks like in camp.
Yeah, and he was on the ice at Tuesday's captain's practice, so he's there. Lysell was not on the first day, but I saw on Twitter from Rob Chalmers that he is there Wednesday. Wednesday isn't open to the media, so we're not there. I will be back there Thursday. And then as far as media stuff, that's it until rookie camp starts, which is September 11th. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you want to see Merkulov make a push, and he should be able to, right? Like, we've talked about it. He was already right there. He did get called up. He's, unlike Lysell, he has played NHL games. Not much, and he didn't get as many minutes as any of us wanted, but, like, he got there. You know, I just wonder, like, I've said it before, but I just wonder where his job is. Now, look, if you have a good enough camp, you force the hand, and you force Don Sweeney and Jim Montgomery to decide where your spot is. But, you know, he's been pretty much entirely a center, so does he have to beat out Potter for third line center? Does one of them shift to the wing? You know, when Merkulov has played wing in Providence, I believe it's always been left wing, his strong side. Can he be in that right wing mix? Like, does he have a shot at second line right wing? You know, a guy who, to my knowledge, has never actually played right wing. So, like, I just have a question about, like, where he finds his spot. But I do think, yeah, if you have a good enough camp and preseason, generally they find a spot for you. Like, they'll figure it out if you force their hand.
Well, that's why I just cannot wait for training camp. It's going to be so fun to watch. As it pertains to Merkulov, Bridget and Scott, are there any attributes that people will look at and say that might be what holds him back from being an NHL player? I think the obvious answer is, can his scoring translate to the NHL? But if it can't, why is that? Like, what's that? Is it a specific trait or lack thereof? Or is it just like his traits aren't, they're not excellent at the NHL level with everybody around him?
No, I think his offensive game can translate. I think if he gets into offensive situations, he can score. He can make plays. He's a smart offensive player and a talented one. The question for him has always been his defense, and he's definitely worked on it a lot in Providence. He took, by all accounts, took real strides last year. But now, especially if you're going to be a center in the NHL, that's another level, another step up from that. So, you know, like, obviously we saw that with Matt Potter learning on the fly last year. You know, getting benched in third periods because Montgomery didn't quite trust him in those situations yet. Like, there's now going to be, if he does make it to the NHL, there's going to be that whole process of showing that your all-around game is in a spot where the coach on a contending team can trust you in all situations, or at least all 5-on-5 situations. Like, I'm not expecting Merkulov to be on the penalty kill, but, you know, trust you in the third period in 5-on-5 situations. Again, the Bruins aren't a rebuilding team, so you can't just let guys work through mistakes and be like, well, yeah, it cost us those 2 points, but hey, you know what? It's all part of the process. Like, no, the Bruins this year, like, you can never enter a season assuming you're going to make the playoffs, right? Like, you have to bank points wherever you can get them. And I know people think the playoffs are a given because the Bruins have been there, what, 8 years in a row now? But, like, it's not actually, if you fall behind the eight ball because you've just kind of dicked around and allowed people to make mistakes, like, next thing you know, you get to Christmas and you're like, ah, shit, like, we're 7 points out, man. Like, we got to get going.
Especially in the Eastern Conference. You remember what the wild card race shaped up to be last season. Like, that, I would say maybe Philadelphia comes to mind when you say people just messing around and not taking advantage of certain points. And Pittsburgh too, that this past season and the season before. So, so yeah, you can't really let him. And that's what happened to Markelov last year. He was getting only a few minutes per game because they didn't necessarily trust him in the defensive five-on-five situations. And they also just, it wasn't about developing him. You could see that, right? It was about giving a guy a chance because he earned it. But it wasn't like he was going to get those extra whacks, because even if we might have wanted him to get that, because that's not really what it was about last year at all. So,
yeah, and Scott, you mentioned the Bruins have made the playoffs like 8 years in a row. I mean, it's also been, what, like 14 or 15 playoff appearances in the last 17 seasons or something like that. I mean, I could count it real quickly, but it's something like that. They've missed the playoffs twice since they first made the playoffs again in 07-08, and we're in 2024. And by the way, those two playoff years that I think they missed playoffs by a combined 5 points in those back-to-back years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think 1 year they missed it to Detroit.
Yeah, it was the last game of the season.
Yeah.
So they've always been there. But so that speaks to why Bruins fans always feel so comfortable that they'll make the playoffs. But the biggest reason why fans feel that way is because throughout that time, they've had such stability on the blue line and in goal, whether it be Tim Thomas, Tuukka Rask, Ullmark, and Swayman.